This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio, dial 929 FM or 680 AM. But if you want to stay up to date and you're away from the radio, you can listen anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. All you got to do is search for 929 FM ESPN and start listening live. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon.
My company is, he is each and every Monday. He's the head coach and team director of Team Thad of the Nike EYBL circuit. Follow him on all socials at DreamBigHerd. Coach Herd, good day, sir.
Great day. Great sports day.
What a weekend of hoops we had. Maybe was lacking in the upsets. I don't know if Cinderella ever really saw Life Before Midnight, but I actually thought there was a lot interesting to get to. But really what I want to start with, Coach, is he would know better than anyone, and I want to talk about what the standard for the Memphis basketball job is, because I think this was an interesting weekend in the sense of maybe getting a preview of where the landscape is headed. So I want to discuss that. We'll get into more from the tournament. Then Jason Munns is going to join us like he does each and every Monday, 2:35 for Munns. We'll get into the list, had a little bit of NFL news. Also, we've had some coaching carousel news. We got new names, or old names, I guess, in new places. So we'll discuss that. We'll talk a little bit more about college basketball, the tournament. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But this is where I want to start with you, Herd, because I think you would know, or certainly have a better idea than average fan, because this is what I find fascinating moving forward. On the one hand, you can make the argument there are 11 either SEC or Big Ten teams in the Sweet 16, and if you really want to extrapolate it, it's 15 from the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and Duke.
Yeah, yeah.
But I found, because George and I were discussing on Friday what that loss was like for Memphis in particular. Because on the one hand, you're the 5 seed, you get beat by the 12. But on the other, it was very obvious in the second half they didn't have a point guard. And they weren't getting organized. And then all of a sudden, once Colorado State made an adjustment and kept Dane from just dominating, and it became either basically miracle shot from PJ or maybe Dane getting to the free throw line, you could tell the lack of a point guard was hurting them. But you're still always, so like I was telling George, it's like in terms of every loss in the tournament's always going to be excruciating. But I thought given the context and kind of everyone knew that this was going to be, this could be something that would bite them, and then you see it, I thought it was, of all the gut punches, nowhere near the most significant. But you still see people reacting the way they do when they lose, and that's fine. That's the way fans work. But I think the biggest issue right now is defining what the Tiger basketball job is, because I see a few factors, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong on any of these, that did not exist at the minimum 20 years ago, but I think really even realistically, this didn't exist 10 years ago. All right. I think this is true. I think this is the hardest that the Memphis basketball job has ever been. And this would be the case that I would make for it. Number one, the amount of local talent is down. And more importantly, we have an environment that you and I didn't grow up with, which is local talent now going to basketball factories. And I used to always make the joke, whatever happens in Memphis happens 10 years later than everywhere else. I actually think in terms of avoiding the basketball factories, we held on maybe even 20 years longer, because it was definitely, and we still had some legendary high school coaches that were keeping their guys, and that was a part of it. And then when some of those coaches finally retired, or you know, some have passed on, we didn't really, that was when it felt like we lost our grip. But I still think the volume of players we're producing is not even as high as it was when you and I were in high school. So that's a big part of it. Number two, I don't know if being a prestige program even matters anymore. Like, I just don't. Like, I don't think Duke is still having success because they're prestigious. I think Duke's still having success because they're paying. And I also would argue they were prestigious once upon a time because they're paying. But also, the bigger issue to me, and this is something that isn't really something you can look inward on, the programs around you that you had always looked down on, well, Ole Miss has got, in my opinion, a more expensive roster. Mississippi State has always been a little bit more committed to basketball than I think people realize, and they've always done better with in-state Mississippi kids than Ole Miss ever really did. And so I don't feel like Mississippi State ebbs and flows in basketball. Like, they're always decent to slightly above. They had good years. Like, they were consistently good with Rick, even if they didn't have a ton of tournament success. But they've had multiple coaches that have gotten to the tournament, and they've had good seasons. And so, but then you take Tennessee even leveling up, which was a good program, but leveling up to an even bigger level. And then the biggest issue that I see, and this is definitely something you've harped on, I think the conference is a problem, but maybe not for the same reasons that everyone else does. I understand why everyone else is frustrated. The games suck. And I totally get, if I'm going to spend a bunch of money to go watch my team, I'd prefer to have more games that I care about. I don't think that's the biggest issue. I think the biggest issue is because the league stinks, they don't really have that good of a TV deal. You're playing over half your games or more on ESPN+. Well, now it becomes a situation where if I can go to Memphis, or if I can go to name your generic mid-card SEC school, well, I'm going to go do that. That's where I think the conference is really hurting you. And so, therefore, if you're going to get the same kids, I think you end up having to overpay. And so then you wind up having an unbalanced roster. Like, maybe you wind up having some guys that are there for the wrong reasons, whatnot. I just take a look, and when everyone just blindly goes, it's a top 25 job, like, I don't think I'm being a hater when I say, how do we know? Because if I go through every one of these Sweet 16 teams, you tell me if I'm wrong. I think that they spent more on the roster. All right, I'll start. I'm just going to go down in the bracket. You ready? Mm-hmm. Auburn. Duh. Yeah. Michigan.
Probably so.
Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Michigan State.
Yeah.
I think that's part of Izzo getting back.
Yeah, okay.
I think they might have figured it out.
Yeah, okay.
Florida.
Yeah.
Maryland. I don't think the Crab 5 was cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Texas Tech, that's one where I don't know.
No, Texas Tech actually got a pretty good budget.
Yeah. Even better. Arkansas, duh.
Yeah.
Duke, duh.
Yeah.
Arizona?
You're probably so.
I mean, I just know this. Caleb, at one point, Memphis thought they had a shot with Caleb Love, and then all of a sudden it was going to Arizona. My instinct on that one is having covered a lot of recruiting in my lifetime, that's usually when it all of a sudden it's like, oh, they got a shot, and then all of a sudden, it's going somewhere else. Like, the deal was made.
That means they got a check in the mail.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was in the mail. I think the check was delivered. It might have been a wire transfer.
Hand delivered.
You have been on the forefront of this. BYU.
Yes.
They are not afraid to let it fly.
Mm-mm.
Alabama.
They're loaded.
Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? When they were in the same league, people still thought Houston had more money.
They did? Okay. Okay.
Purdue? That's one where I don't know.
I don't know much about
that. I don't know. I just know they have another 7-footer in the wings.
For sure.
Kentucky?
Yes.
Tennessee?
Yes.
Okay, so I just named 16 teams, and at best, we think 14.
For sure.
But... And I haven't even gone through some of like the disappointing schools. Like, we didn't even mention Indiana. We didn't even mention North Carolina. We didn't even mention Kansas. And so my argument is I don't have to work that hard to sit there and go, I know you're not top 25.
Mm-hmm.
I want to also be clear, I don't think people are being irrational when it's not like everyone's saying, well, they should be in the Sweet 16 every year, but it does feel like there's this weird push and pull of what are the expectations versus what is the job, plus how do we just feel because we lost? And so in your mind, having known everything about the player game, everything about where most guys, like what the average roster costs, where do you think the job stacks up?
So, University of Memphis has been a top 25 job. I think you uniquely, you actually described it in a great way, Jeff. I'm still ready to say I'm not willing to give up right now saying it's a top 25 job. I want to say it's still around that. Now, I'm willing to say it might not be the 25th best school with money, but I also put a little more into it because I'm going to be real with you. I think even though Michigan State spending money, even though Houston spending money, I don't think it's as crazy. I think also that the head coaches that they have and being in the conferences happen too.
Sure.
Like because I know Houston coach Sampson and even Auburn might not even have the money as Arkansas and Kentucky, but they go over a certain level. You got to say Bruce Pearl this year went and got guys from mid-major, got D2 guy. So he took some shortcuts on the money. So I think, you know, overall, money is going to play out to be a super big factor. And in college, it will mean more than the pros. Because in the pros, I'm a Yankee fan. You see it all the time where now the Dodgers is doing their thing where we didn't double had the biggest payroll sometime and didn't win. So I think it's still.
I mean, George has entered the chat. The Mets are now spending like the Yankees used to.
Exactly. So I don't.
Must be nice.
I don't think that spending is the only thing to make it a great job. And also outside of the Cinderella story, I want to say this too. We went against one of the teams that I think they got low money, but they find out they evaluate their butts off, and that's Colorado State. And really, they should be in the Sweet 16. They a buzzer beater from doing it. I don't know how they do it, but that's a school I've been known to coaches there. And not just them, even the whole old Mountain West. People don't realize this. Half of the NBA All-Star game are mid-major players. So Paul George came out the Mountain West. Kawhi Leonard came out the
West. Paul George was originally committed to Pepperdine. Fun fact.
Really?
Signed.
And so to me, if you don't all, even in AAU, it's people that got way bigger budgets than me. To me, when you have a little less money, that don't automatically mean you're at the full disadvantage, but you're definitely going to have a really good evaluation skill set.
Yeah, and I can buy where, all right, let's say Kelvin at Houston has roughly the same amount of money as Memphis. This is where I do think the league works against them, which is, all right, Kelvin can probably do more with $3.5 million than Memphis can, because in the end, you don't really have to sell the Big 12. Mm-mm. You have to sell, and the truth is, Memphis isn't even selling the AAC. They're not even trying that argument. Mm-mm. They're trying to sell Memphis.
Exactly, which is smart. Because when you have a disadvantage, you have because
sure, there's no way to spin the AAC.
Because I used to take kids. Well, I used to be a UNLV visit. This is the craziest thing ever. When you go to a visit, the first thing they're hype about, and you know this, Jeffrey, they want to take you to the football game. UNLV visit was based off of back then, not taking you to the football game. I mean, you would go. I would go with a player to Ole Miss, and the basketball ticket would be solid, right? Kids used to commit sometimes because the football game was so crunk. Like, you take them to, oh, they riding us through the crowd. You take it through Arkansas. You on the floor. And then UNLV would have to mysteriously put in an extra meal or go see a part of the strip because they wouldn't even take you to the football game. So I say that with Memphis is, you got to leave with your strong points, Jeffrey. Like, I know some people that only like taking pictures on the left side because they look fatter on the right side.
Sure.
So you have to, and I want to say this because you hopped on a lot of things, Jeffrey, and I'm trying to make sure I answer them right.
Yeah.
Because in your details, what making it the top 25, you actually said some good stuff. One, you know, nobody want to be the boy to cry wolf, but their point guard was hurt. You know what I mean? I do think Memphis would be a sweet
and six. Their backup point guard was hurt.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the point guard. The backup point guard that honestly had probably done a pretty good job of carving out a role for himself. He got hurt before and he didn't play.
Like, people make jokes, the backup. But that's serious. The backup was hurt, right? And so, well, the backup and then other. So you add that, okay? I think Memphis with a full team would have beat them in Maryland. I know people get tired of what ifs. You know, I'm big on criticizing people, Jeff, when it's deserving. I think this year, I really hate they lost that game, and I'm not trying to sound like a loser. They had a really darn good year, right?
Yes.
And I think it was very, very good. It was a program builder. I know a lot of guys have even, I didn't talk to other AAU coaches, manager, agents. There's some pretty top transfers who like what Memphis did this year now.
Yeah.
Whether they're going to have the money, I didn't ask them about their numbers. They was just like.
Well, we know this. Retaining one player is going to be incredibly expensive.
For sure. For sure.
I mean, I think it's possible PJ could be the most expensive transfer out there.
For sure. For sure. So you got that. And so Memphis did such a great job. I think what kind of, and you saw it this time, Jeff, because you fairly criticized. You do it like you're supposed to. This will make you a great analyst. The stuff I was seeing, it's like, it's kind of hard being a Tiger now because people went straight to low blows again. I'm talking about Memphis Tiger fans and in groups and stuff. And I'm like, hold on. The man just won Coach of the Year in the conference. We won the all-right title regular season. We won we had the
tournament.
Yeah, the tournament.
Every trophy they gave out this year from the league, Memphis won.
We won it. We had the top three biggest non-conference schedule that we did great with. I think they say we had outside of our conference the most quad one wins or something. I might be off on some of this, but I'm saying it's high level. And then I get online right there, we losing people. I told you they was going to do this. They run the AAU. I'm like, I think that's a little unfair to
say. I felt like much of the criticism that I saw throughout the weekend, I thought it applied to Penny in years past. Mm-hmm. I did not feel like it applied to Penny and the program this year. Because everything that I saw from the program this year was a step in the right direction. Number one, I've harped on it for a while, but I stand by it. Running a conventional program, a conventional rotation, getting a pecking order, having a clear top eight, having all of that, check.
Mm-hmm.
First time he'd done it. And honestly, I felt like it helped the team get better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number two, we didn't ride this like a roller coaster of the team. Like, I never thought they should go undefeated. But they played 35 games and they won 29 of them. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, that was check. And then, to me, the other big part of it was, it wasn't just going and fishing and trying to get the best and biggest name possible and trying to make it work that way. It's like, all right, it was identifying guys at certain positions that made sense and making them into a team. And they did that. Like, everything that I saw this year was a step in the right direction. And it just felt like much of the criticism that you were seeing was like people trying to go back to the well of something that you would want to use as a frustration from years past, but it did not actually apply to this team.
And I agree with that. That's what made me kind of feel like it was unfair. Because like you said, I can agree with some of the years past you could have used that. And Jeff, even all year, you remember when every time they lost the game early on, people were like, oh, we going back to last year. And I was like, hold on, guys. They still give them a chance. Now, I know last year scared the hell out of everybody. I get it. I never seen that.
Well, it was great. Today, I can't remember. I don't think it was A1. I think it was Wes in North Memphis called in on Jeff's show.
Okay.
And Wes's take was everybody in Memphis just didn't get enough hugs growing up. Because it's like every single time something happens, it's like everyone just freaks out. I've always said we just have football brain. Whether it be with basketball, like we're just everything is just a knee-jerk reaction and we just go drastically too far in one direction or the other. If it's a win, that's a big win. It's the greatest win of all time. We'll never see another win like that. And then if it's a loss, that was a reasonable. The Temple loss was. Here we go again.
Yeah.
And it's like they went 16-2 in the league.
And Jeff, not to get deeper, but what was that guy's name again?
Which one? Wes in North Memphis.
Wes from North Memphis. He actually, and him being from North Memphis, he know this from South Memphis. He actually, being funny, might be telling the truth because.
Oh, I think he was telling the truth.
We got a lot of childhood friends here, and you're married, Jeff. But let's say you were meeting new friends, you didn't have the same job, you were dating. People here do like every little thing. They're aggressive or they take over board. It's like they think somebody is after them or yes. They think like somebody that come to you today like. I feel like I'm like, you know, people not trying to the expressway say 70 miles.
We have paranoia.
Yeah. It's like people think someone always have to get. I mean, even with the basketball, like every parent tells me, oh, they wouldn't. I think the team against throwing my kid the ball. So I had to tell one parent. I said,
yeah, no, we run that drill in practice.
Yeah. I told one parent, I don't think that point guard has nothing against you. But tell your son to go to the right side instead of the left. I don't think that kid can dribble left good, right? It wasn't personal. Like, switch sides because that kid is.
Or maybe get open.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like as simple as that. Like, get open.
So I agree with, was it Wes from North Memphis?
Wes in North Memphis.
And I also agree with this, and it has made the media business great, and I wish we could find a way, Jeff, not to be sensitive. I wish we could find a way of them controlling it better. I think it being from Memphis and also social media has put a spotlight on, you have to be really strong. You have always had to be.
Thick skin, baby.
Super thick. You have always had to be strong in a high position. But back, you know, and I'm not that old, but like before my times or whatever, I still, you know, a person would have had to probably go to the newspaper to see somebody say something negative, and that'll even be the next day. But now it's like,
and usually most of the stuff in the paper was usually like, fairly like sensitized compared to like what you'll see now.
Exactly. The next minute somebody can just come in and it can continue to linger on and you don't even know who it is. And so it's rough. I think Memphis, man, there's no way that the Tigers and Penny Hardaway should be scrutinized right now. And I do think we should have won that game, but even with that, people don't know how important a point guard, starting point guard, is to a team. That's always almost equivalent. If Dame Danger and PJ weren't playing like they was, that's equivalent to a quarterback. You know some. You know what I mean?
100%.
You know, and so I think people in Memphis are already on the good side to take up for the people. I think they want to be great so bad, and they are waiting for that Sweet 16 run. That I think some people are going about it the wrong way and not a realistic way.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess just the way that, like, when I was watching the game unfold on Friday, because it was interesting. We had Tim was on with us on Friday, and Tim had taken Memphis. And Tim has watched Memphis games, but not like I've watched every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the half, he's going, I don't know how to feel because I kind of felt like Memphis should be up more. And when you're in kind of the more of a gambler's mode and you realize like, okay, yes, this team's up, but like they left a lot of points out there. That leaves a lot of gamblers a little queasy because they know usually what we see in tournament games is another team, the other team's going to make a run at some point. And so you're a little cautious there. Whereas I took the opinion that I was very impressed with the way that the Tigers guarded in the first half. And then also, I was somewhat banking on, it didn't happen every single time, but more times than not, when PJ's had a bad first half, he usually has a pretty good second half. And so I was like, they got to the half, and Dane was awesome. No, I'm not trying to discount Dane, but I've kind of thought Dane being awesome is just kind of a given. Like, he's had an unbelievable last couple of months. But I just didn't really think PJ was going to get held in check like he was in the second half, like he had been in the first half. But this kind of goes back to the whole point guard issue. PJ was largely having to create his own shot, and it was tough, especially when he wasn't hot from three. And then it also didn't help on top of that, Colby Rogers turns an ankle. Like he kind of gutted it out, but he was at least one of the guys that was hitting threes in the first half. And you go and you look at it, it's like, all right, well, it was a team that shot 37% from three. If they shoot 37%, maybe they win the game on Friday, but instead they shot 27% or 26%, something like that in change. But like, I don't know. I was a little taken aback at, I felt like the severity of the criticism didn't apply to this team. I think it applied to the past.
No. And I agree. And I do agree with Tim on this. The first half did make you feel like, I wish they would have been up more. I'm going to tell you why. Because basketball is big, with any sport, is big with momentum.
Yes. And particularly in the tournament when it's a one and done. Because everyone just goes full out.
For sure. And I felt like Arkansas State better players, we kind of had hit them in the mouth early on. But I feel like without fully exploiting it,
yep,
it gave those guys, because in basketball it happens like this too. If you don't go and put certain teams away, that even teams that you're better than, a lot better than, sometimes you let them chip away, their confidence will build up.
Especially a team like Arkansas State that shoots so much.
Exactly.
Because all of a sudden it just becomes like, all right, well, we weren't making our shots, but let's keep firing. We'll make them eventually. But to your point, by letting them hang around, it allows them to be like, well, let's keep shooting.
For sure. You talking about Colorado State?
I was thinking the Arkansas
State. Well, we play Arkansas State. That's how. Yeah, they stay the game. Okay, and so that's the thing. I feel like Colorado State, once they took that punch at halftime, they was probably saying, look, they ain't got no point guard. I know what they coach was saying. Let's get our big boy involved. Second half, it don't feel like, and I didn't watch the whole second half because I was flipping through because I had a lot of players in it. But it felt like Dane might didn't get it as much as the first
they
half.
They did a great job of basically sagging off. They basically dared Memphis to shoot threes, and by daring them to shoot threes, it allowed them to help on Dane. Dane only got four shots in the second half.
Okay.
And I think he got 11 in the first.
Okay. And you can see with Colorado State,
they basically said, he ain't beating us.
He ain't beating us. We're going to let everybody.
Yes.
And like you say, I didn't know Rogers, but Rogers was really good in the first half or whatever.
He gets banged up.
He got banged up. So I got to say, everyone hates the what if thing, but I just think, like back to what you said, I think it's unfair. You know, like we're the first on this show go say if something should have happened or whatever, we going to be right there with it. But it's some people I will say this too. And I'm not on, like you said, I'm not on Twitter as much, but people send me some of the Facebooks. I'm mostly on Instagram. I tell you that with the kids. So
it's a much happier place.
Yeah.
Just letting you know.
But on Facebook, from what I have seen, or on certain parts of Twitter, if I'm the coach at Memphis or if I'm just a Memphis alumni, I would ask the fans, if I went to a bar tonight, we can agree to disagree, but are you with us or not? Because it's almost like some of the people that say they're fans, they are more active in speaking out when they lose a game than they are celebrating when they're winning. Because I'm talking about why the game was going on. He's getting out coaches. I'm like, hold on. I'm a coach. I'm not seeing all of that. Now, I am seeing some good adjustments, but how we get to the point, I can't say everything on air, but it was some crazy comments going on towards the second. I was like, we got to be a little bit more supportive than this.
And like the biggest problem was they looked unorganized on offense, but it was not because of scheme. They looked unorganized because they didn't have anyone to trigger the offense.
They didn't have their point guard.
Correct. It's like, to use your example of the point guard equivalent to quarterback. Guys, when a team has their third team quarterback out there, they don't look as crisp.
No matter what team it is.
It doesn't matter. Like, it's just, it's not going to look right. And, I mean, I guess if you want to make an argument, well, have a better plan. I mean, this is where I will say, like, you can throw it in my face. I've always thought Penny needs less is more in terms of number of guys.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose you want to throw it in my face. Well, having another guy on the roster that was a pure point guard would have helped. But I would also argue this. How many teams are carrying three point guards?
Yeah. If I'm you, I would not go against yourself or beat yourself up with that. Because like I tell people all the time when they say insurance, basketball don't work like that because you can't, let's say nobody get hurt. Now you have a guy that's not playing and
correct.
Not happy.
And
so
that's going to work against you.
Yeah, for sure. Like even this year on my team, I've been taking 11. And at 10th, 11th man, no matter how sweet they are, it usually become a distraction. This year, I'm starting off with 8-9 people. Yes, somebody can get hurt, and unlike college, I can pick somebody up in the middle of the year. But, yeah, having too many can go against you, too, if nobody gets hurt. Like, you want to have insurance, but you also, you know, you want to have insurance, but you also want to plan for what's going on now. So you want to kind of have a balanced attack with it.
Well, and then on top of that, like, what if the guy that's not playing is someone that's influential? Like, then all of a sudden you wind up with the old cancer.
That's why I'm going to 8 or 9 now.
Just saying.
Because them be some of the coolest people on the team. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the guy that ain't playing has a major say-so with one of the star players.
Yes.
And now the star player, man, why are you mad? You done got it 20 times a game. Do not get mad because he's mad. he's not playing.
You literally just had 17 shots. Like, all right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll keep talking Tiger basketball. We'll do it with Munns next right here on Jeff Rett & Company, 92.9 FM.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
ESPN. Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. He joins us each and every Monday on the program. Follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. Munns, what are we listening to?
This is Bad Wicked World by Frank Black, Jeffrey.
Bad Wicked World. All right, Jason, what were the five coaching mistakes that Penny made on Friday against Colorado State?
Oh, my gosh. What kind of a...
I guess this will be a little context. So George and I were in real time. While you were writing, we were on the air. And we were discussing, with the context of every tournament loss is a gut punch. Like, it just is. Like, your season's over and your dream's done.
Yeah.
I just felt like in the context of all tournament losses, this one was the least severe because it had context. It's like the entire second half, I just found myself going, I really wish they had their point guard. They don't, and therefore everything felt disorganized and whatnot. But like, I guess I was wrong that everyone else still viewed it as this was an opportunity to get your claws out.
No, see, I'm gonna die on the hill that you were thinking you were on in the moment. I do not think at all that things would have played out the way they played out on Friday had Memphis had Tyrese Hunter. I do not think, like,
I'm even willing to say this. I think they could have won if they would have just had Dame.
Dante Harris.
Yeah, Dante, sorry.
Yes. No, so here's the way I look at it. And this is not, you know, like I'm a big believer in the, you don't complain about injuries or you don't cry about injuries, whatever. And it, like, everybody's got injuries, but like, I am a realist.
There are certain injuries that do matter more than others.
To pretend like Memphis was anywhere even close to the same team it was that won 29 games and two conference championships without its starting point guard and, oh, by the way, without its backup point guard is living in some sort of fantasy world. Like, the reality of the situation is Tyrese Hunter, who is a table setter extraordinaire. Like, he was also, I think, what, your third leading scorer. He was the guy on the team who knew how to get it done in March. He had never lost on any team that he was on. He had never gone one and done in the NCAA tournament. Okay, he had made the Elite Eight. He had made the Sweet 16 twice. He had advanced to the round of 32 in the other year that he played in college. And that is something that you cannot quantify losing. When you don't have that, when you have that all season long and then all of a sudden you don't, it matters. It makes a difference. And then on top of that, again, you're not only missing him, you're also missing his backup. And, like, forget the fact that March is all about the guards, which it is. Like, that's how you win in March, is with great guard play. 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, that's how you win in March. So you tie basically both hands behind your back, essentially, when you don't have those, your top two point guard options. But then, like, you're down to what, six man rotation. Like, that's a problem too. It's not just that you're missing your top two point guards. It's also that you're missing two players that are big parts of your rotation. So, yeah, like, I'm not here for that. I'm not here for the, they just crapped the bed. Like, that is not something that I'm going to subscribe to ever.
So Hurd was asking me, in your mind, because there'll be others that'll point out, well, they had a lead at half. What do you think changed in the second half?
Well, I should go back and sort of, add on to the thought that I just finished, that that does not say at all that mistakes weren't made.
Sure.
That is not to say at all that had this player or that player played a better game or been put in better positions, that things would have turned out differently. Like, that's not absolving blame that is to be placed elsewhere. But that's just the finish to that thought before. But what changed at halftime? I mean, Dane Danger never came off the floor. And, you know, it was very, very obvious that he was super fatigued. This is after he played, I think, 38 and 39 minutes in the conference tournament the weekend before, which were all career highs. I mean, you're just talking about a guy who played so many minutes down the stretch for this team. And I think that caught up with him in the second half of that game. Now, that's not to say that's the only thing that caught up with him. I think Colorado State caught up with him. I think they sort of reconfigured their defensive approach to account for him, to stop him. And when they did that, when Colorado State did that, the nobody else stepped up. I mean, Kobe Rogers had a really nice first half. And then I'm not sure he scored more than a couple of points until the very end. I think he hit a three-pointer toward the very end. When they shut Dane down, he didn't step up. P.J. Haggerty didn't step up. Nobody stepped up when Dane either got tired and or got game planned for. I think that's what it was. Is Dane either got tired or they figured out how to defend him better, and nobody else stepped up.
So now that we know, okay, this team is out of the tournament, but the season is complete. How do you characterize what you covered this year?
I think it was a step forward. I think you have to put it in the context of where they were coming from, right?
Like, yes.
You have to go back to last season and the way that it played out. Like, I mean, honestly, last season was rock bottom. It was worse than season one. It was worse than season two. Like, there's no other way to slice that one. And the fact that Penny Hardaway and the Tigers picked themselves up, dusted themselves off, won a regular season conference championship for the first time in more than a decade, got a 5 seed, which was the highest NCAA tournament seed that this program has had in 16 years. Consensus All-American, you know, 29 wins, like all that stuff. They took a substantial step forward when you take into account what they were coming off of. And to me, like, that's the whole thing. Now, and this is kind of what I wrote in the moment, like, the season on its own, if you're just looking at it under the microscope of one season, even though they lost to Colorado State, a 12 seed in the first round of the NCAA tournament, this season on its own can't be looked at any other way than a success. However, if you pull back and you look at it like from a program standpoint under Penny Hardaway, he is now 1-3 in the NCAA tournament. He has won the one game against Boise State 3 years ago now. That has to change. Like, we are getting to the point now where that has to change, or else it's what are we doing? You know, like, if that is just going to be the way it is, then it's like, you're asking yourself, what are we doing here? So, yeah, like I think what I covered this season was the best season that Memphis has had under Penny Hardaway. It was Penny Hardaway's best season. And so, yeah, so like just like under those parameters, like I said, there's no other way to look at it but successful.
No, because I'm with you. I guess the only thing I'd push back on, because in a vacuum, yes, I get it. Like 1-3 is not good enough. But I also look at it in these contexts, which is they're able to get into Maui, and they have as successful a Maui campaign as I think you could have reasonably expected when it starts. You beat UConn, you beat Michigan State. Yeah, you lose to Auburn, but so almost every team that came up against Auburn this year lost. Okay, that was a success. You lose one non-conference game against Arkansas State. All right, it's a bad loss, but for the most part, your non-conference slate was wildly successful, and more importantly, the teams that you played and beat, you needed them to hold up their end of the bargain. They did so, even more so than anyone expected. I mean, that Missouri win really held up nicely. The Clemson win held up nicely. You know, the Ole Miss Mississippi State games, like even though you only win one of the two, those hold up nicely. But I start thinking about it next year. It's like, okay, what are the odds that you go 10-3 again in the non-con, and that your non-con is as strong as it was the year before, and then you're able to just kind of go through a conference slate that does nothing to help you, only can hurt you, and you've got to match that to hold on for dear life to keep a five. It feels like, you know, hey, in other years, like you're sitting here, you're going to be on the 8-9 line, you're going to be on the 7-10 line. Even if, like, I think you're still a good team, like, do I always expect an 8 or a 7 to make it to the second weekend? Like, I guess that's kind of where I start to have at least some sympathy of, yeah, we got to do better. Like, I understand that. I think we can all say that in a vacuum, but like, I just wonder about how it looks in practice.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I think they're going to come pretty close to replicating, like, at the very least doing what they can to put together a very, very strong non-conference schedule next season. Now, that's not to say that the teams that they're going to face are going to hold up their end of the bargain the way the teams they played this year did. You know, you never know about that. Like, you just don't know.
That's something that's completely out of your control.
Yeah, like, yeah, you got no control over that. But I think... you know, going into next season, what we eventually are going to find, what we're eventually going to see, as far as their non-conference schedule goes, is like, you're going to think that this is pretty good. Like, you know, like, I don't think they're going to back off, of that, you know, next season. So, so I think that is going to be good for them, but you know, like, you know, so much was made leading up to Selection Sunday that, as all any of us ever heard was 7 seed, 8 seed, whatever. It was just all this stuff. Like, so it just doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. As long as we're in this conference, our ceiling is only an 8 seed and at best a 7 seed. Well, that this year showed that that is absolutely patently false. So, I mean, like, that's the way I am looking at it going forward, is that they have that Memphis has shown that if they can do what they did this season, and like, there's room for improvement. And I mean, I get it. I understand your point that, like, you know, it's very, very difficult to go through an entire season without stubbing your toe once or twice. But again, what this season showed is that even if you do stub your toe once, twice, even three times, like, you can, and you play quote unquote down to your competition, you can still get a 5 seed. You can still get a very attractive seed in the NCAA tournament. So, I think that there is, it's reasonable to expect, based on what we saw Memphis do this season, that they can do it again and perform better than the one and done against the 12 seed Colorado State, which, by the way, was a controversial-ish call away from going to the Sweet 16. Let's not ignore that. Like, very good team. You know, so, yeah, like, the expectations are high, but I think they should be high, and I think they are attainable.
What can they bring back next year?
You mean personnel-wise?
Yeah.
Dante Harris is eligible to return. PJ Carter is eligible to return. Jared Harris and Baraka Okoje are eligible to return. Highly unlikely that they do. Dink Yates is eligible to return. Buna Kibe, who redshirted this season, he's like a 6'7", 6'8", forward. His last year at JUCO, he averaged, I think, like 7-something rebounds and almost 2 blocks a game. So remains to be seen if he'll be back or not. We'll see. But so those are – that's all who's eligible to return. Dane Danger's status, you know, like the NCAA would literally have to break its own rules for him to come back, for him to be eligible to come back. But
how good's his legal team?
And that's what I was going to say. In the year 2025 – you never say never with anything regarding the NCAA. So,
particularly on eligibility status questions.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe he's back. I don't think he will be, but you know, stranger things have happened. So, but outside of that, yeah, that's it. They've got two, commitments. Daniel Vieira Tuck is a guard who played for Overtime Elite, this past season. And then, Felipe Patino, played at Eastern Florida State College, a junior college in Florida, where I think he shot 45% from three or something like that, averaged 2.5 three-pointers made per game. So that's where we are right now. That's it's some of it's up in the air, some of it's not. So but it's going to be another one of those off seasons.
And then finally, what do you think it takes to get PJ Haggerty back?
Oh gosh, I can't believe. Like, I mean, I could play it off like I accidentally forgot to mention.
No, I just think we all know, because, like, I think, you know, PJ handled it exactly probably like I would have advised him to. But basically, post game, like, he didn't commit to anything, and that's exactly what you should probably advise a young man to do right now.
Yes, anybody in his shoes would do that, and most anybody. And I get that, you know, it spawned this sort of doomsday. You know, a lot of people.
He didn't say he wasn't coming back, y'all. Like, he just.
No, I know.
I'm not talking to you, but there was a lot of people you were panicking. It's like, he never said he wasn't coming back. He's keeping every door open.
There were a lot of people who took that and ran the complete, in completely one direction. And you know, who knows? Maybe he doesn't come back. Maybe he does. But, yes, PJ Haggerty obviously has 2 more seasons of eligibility left and has a decision to make. Like, he's unlikely to go the NBA route. I mean, maybe he tests the draft waters, but I've literally not heard that from anyone at all when talking about him and his future.
It's tough to envision a world where he makes more money professionally than he would in college basketball next year.
Now, remember that, yes, but remember the testing of the waters is not always
everyone
about,
can do it.
Yeah, like you almost do it just because, to get your name out there and to get seen and to get feedback and all that stuff. So, like, if he does test the waters, it does not mean at all that he's, like, going to get drafted or turn, you know, go pro or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, like, it's going to be largely about money. That you know, and I know that's hard for a lot of people to accept, but it's, like, more and more every single day is the reality.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.